WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset.
Don't you notice how I get quiet when there's no one else around? Me and you and awkward silence. Don't you dare look at me that way. I don't need reminders of how you don't feel the same.
We are listening to a song called From the Start by singer and songwriter Leve. The 25-year-old is known for the way that she combines elements of jazz and classical music into her sound. And she's blowing people's minds, from teen fans on TikTok to adults just catching wind of her music. Now Leve's on the road for her Bewitched Goddess tour. We got a chance to sit down with the talented musician before her sold-out show at the Chicago Theater on Sunday, April 28th. And she started by sharing what keeps bringing her back to Chicago.
I mean, it's so beautiful. I think it's one of those cities that people outside of America don't know is so vast.
Yeah.
Like you come here and you're like, wow, this is like New York, but, you know, a little bit calmer. But
yeah.
And
the diversity,
so,
the architecture,
yes,
the
yeah,
food.
Exactly. And I mean, the Chicago Symphony is so amazing. So I grew up knowing that and been to the Art Institute a couple of times. And it's really like a cultural hub. It's very beautiful.
Oh, yeah. So you're acclimated then.
Yes.
For
oh, yeah.
Sure. So how's the tour been so far?
It's been absolutely incredible. I've been having so much fun.
Mm-hmm. You're leaving from here. You're going to my hometown, which is Toronto. I'm super excited. I've got friends back home who can't wait to see you as well. Now, for the folks who are listening to us now, Leve, who might not be familiar with you or your music, I think it's important to talk about what I alluded to earlier, your efforts to sort of introduce jazz and classical music to audiences who aren't familiar with it. So talk, first of all, about why that's a mission of yours.
Yeah, well, I grew up playing classical music. My mother's a violinist. So I grew up playing cello and piano. And then I started singing jazz when I was 12 or 13. My dad loved jazz music, so we always had jazz playing in the house.
Nice.
And I just became obsessed with Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday and kind of like these jazz icons with these deeper voices. And I could hear a little bit more of myself in them and their music. So I kind of grew up an old weird soul in that sense. That was my favorite music.
That's not weird at all. It's fantastic.
But then as I grew older and I started making my own music, and it was just always natural to me to continue making that kind of music. And I realized that a lot of my peers around me just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And not that they didn't have an appreciation for it, but it just hadn't been introduced to them properly. And also it hadn't been presented to them as something that was their own.
Yeah.
So it kind of became my mission to keep the genres alive in a way by putting it into my own music and hopefully becoming like a gateway for people to go listen to Ella Fitzgerald or go listen to Chopin or something.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm definitely very influenced by those genres and want to keep them interesting and alive for new generations.
That is incredible to hear, because as a result, you have received a lot of love for your music. What do you think then that says about the kinds of music that young people do enjoy these days? And what do you think it is about this time that we're living in right now that makes that work?
Well, I think new audiences, like whether it be Gen Z or even Gen A audiences, are incredibly versatile, I think, because of the internet. And there's just so much exposure to different genres of music and different eras of a film and TV. It's just like we have all the information at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just like this general openness towards new music or any kind of music, sorry. You see like on the charts or on TikTok, even on social media, these songs from the 90s, 80s, 70s down to like the 40s fly up the charts just because they're having little viral moments. And I think it shows how versatile listeners are nowadays. And I think it's incredibly exciting. You're no longer boxed into genres. I think you're more boxed into just feeling or mood.
Mm-hmm. Some of what you're saying right now, I'm seeing it, or the effects of it rather, in my own home. So my daughter, who's 15, is a big fan of yours, Levy.
Really?
So when she found out that I was having this conversation with you, she told me to tell you, quote, "Let You Break My Heart Again" and "A Letter to My 13-Year-Old Self" are her favorite songs.
Oh.
They're her favorite songs by you. She's like, even though I'm only 15, I still, you know, love "A Letter to My 13-Year-Old Self" because I wish I would be able to do that. And she says, quote, "The song Bewitched, tell her that her songs remind me of Disney princess movies and that her work is magical."
That's so sweet.
So that's what you're doing, right? 15.
Send her all my love. That is the sweetest account.
Will do.
That's so kind. I mean, I'm 25. I still relate to "Letter to My 13-Year-Old Self," which is...
She'll feel good hearing you say that.
Oh, good. All the love to you. But yeah, I mean, that's incredible. I definitely see it. I definitely feel it. I look out into the audiences and just even like when I run into audiences on the street, it's they're oftentimes on the younger side.
Yeah.
And I think it just says so much about like music is something that, you know, it's anybody can listen to it. I the fact that younger audiences are resonating in any way, it's just so cool because all I see is just a group of people that I would have loved to be friends with and am friends with in a way. You know,
absolutely.
We're all one big community. So
let's listen to another song, Levy. Here's "California and Me."
You'd go back to New York. Don't consider me when you run back to her. You don't have to hide it. I know why you went. Said you needed space. I know better.
So when I listen to your music, I hear those different elements of jazz and bossa nova standards. In this song, I'm hearing the influences from your background in the classical side of things. As you mentioned, right, your inspiration comes from composers like Franz Liszt, Frédéric Chopin. What are the challenges, though, of mixing these elements together for that modern audience? And I'm wondering how you strike a balance between the old and the new sound.
It's definitely something I think about because especially when I first started, I was scared of dipping into the classical inspirations because I thought it would just be so old and out of touch. But I really dared to lean into it with my new album, Bewitched, and just kind of let my imagination run wild. And, you know, I realized this is similar to the music that plays in some of our favorite films. This plays in this color of sound. It's what we hear. And like your daughter said, in like Disney films growing up, it's nothing that our ears aren't accustomed to. It needs to be framed in a way that it's not too old, I think, or just not of the time. Like I'm very unapologetically modern in the way I go about my being and my business.
Yeah.
You know, I use the same mediums as any other pop artist. The music itself is, I think it's just very natural to me, like that those classical references and sounds, like I just trained for so many years and played all those composers, so it's kind of in me. I think the thing that makes it modern is the storytelling and the way that this is very unromantic but marketed, just the way that it's presented, rather.
Yeah.
But yeah, the story of California and Me is a modern story. It's a song that I wrote when I was 23, 24, which is, you know, in this year. So it's I think that's what I like to say. It's like modern stories with older sounds.
Let's talk about your family. So you're Icelandic and Chinese. You come from a very musical family. I understand your maternal grandparents, your mother, as well as your twin sister, you all play music.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Tell us more about your family's history with classical music.
So my grandparents in China, they were both professors of classical music in the Central Conservatory in Beijing. And they played violin and piano. And then my mother played violin. And it just kind of trickled down. It was like an inescapable fate. It was, you know, something that was always in me. I mean, I like to say I was in the womb at orchestra rehearsals with my mother. So
yeah,
it was
you just, very well were.
Yeah, exactly. So when I say it runs through my blood, I really wasn't kidding. But it's just something that's always been with me. I don't remember starting to play an instrument. I just always did.
Yeah. Well, let's hear some more music. This is the first song that you ever released. This one's called Street by Street.
The way that you used to give me butterflies took me 21 days to walk our former
You attended the Berklee College of Music in Boston during the pandemic. So I gotta ask, I mean, what impact did that time of isolation have on your ability to be creative?
I mean, it was a terrible time for the world, but it definitely gave me the breathing space to kind of create this world that's around me. I remember we were thrown off campus and I came back to my bedroom and at home with my parents, and I just said to myself, I'm going to try and post videos of myself singing jazz standards on the internet and write as much as possible and post little videos of that, and just almost like a practice for myself. And, you know, my Instagram page at the time was just very personal. It was just friends.
Yeah.
And one of the videos I did was a cover of It Could Happen to You, which is a jazz standard. I was playing cello and singing it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it went viral on Instagram.
What was that moment like, going viral?
It was crazy because I remember, because I had like 1,000 followers or something. And I remember refreshing the page and every single time it just like jumped up. Mm-hmm. And I think I gained like 10,000 followers within a week. And it was just the most insane thing. It was, I mean, back then it felt like I had made it. It was really, really wild.
But that sensation, that continued, right? Because you're huge on TikTok and just social media. It's played such a role in your journey.
Yeah, and it's played a huge role. I mean, it was the only way I had of exposing my music to the public during the pandemic. I couldn't play live anywhere. And it was just, I kind of, you know, figured out how to harness it and how to grow an audience on there. And it became kind of my community. Like, I'd do a lot of live streams, and the state of the world was it was so weird. So we'd just like kind of check in, and there were people from all over the world. And I'd like write a song and I'd open up a live stream and I'd get feedback from the audiences, and I'd kind of, you know, decide which songs to continue. And I just kept it, just kind of snowballed from there, and it's still
that
snowballing.
That instant feedback
day.
Must have felt good too, right?
It really did, and it helped a lot because it kind of gave me the confidence to continue. But it's really, really amazing, and that's why I feel so passionate about my audience. It really feels like something we've built together, and I owe everything to them. There was no precedent for, you know, a young woman to make like jazz inspired music. Like, I don't think anybody 4 or 5 years ago would have been like, oh yeah, that's gonna be successful. So I feel very lucky.
You just released the deluxe version of your second album, Bewitched. It features 3 new original songs, and one of them is Goddess.
It always goes like this. Could have predicted it. I'm so naive to think you loved me for me. Kissed as I ran off stage. You're too old to play this game. Guess you're still growing up at 30.
All right, I'm in a trance listening to this song. I want to spend some time on it. I feel like this one is just taking me to a different place. You've called it your most honest song yet, which I find interesting. You write a lot about love and heartbreak, but how was writing this one, Goddess, different?
This one definitely came just all at once, mm-hmm. and it came from this moment where I just felt this really, really stark difference between this person that I am on stage and online, which is very decorated. You know, it's very, you know, you feel kind of like this goddess on a podium in that you have lots of people watching you and, you know, I have lots of makeup on and wear this big, with these big, beautiful dresses and kind of this like thing of perfection, you know, at least I attempt to be.
Interesting.
Whereas at home, I'm just the same woman and girl that I've always been. And I feel very much the same. And oftentimes, as any person, and as any woman especially, feel just extremely normal, too normal. And just, yeah, it was, so the goddess was kind of born out of this extreme difference between those two feelings that I can have even within one night mm-hmm. after stepping off a stage. And I kind of use this story of a relationship as a device to describe that. And though being on stage and being at home is maybe very personal to me, I think this is just something that speaks to a lot of us now as we present ourselves a certain way online and mm-hmm. find ourselves to be quite normal at home.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to dive into the rest of the Bewitched album. This was recorded with all live instruments. Is that right? So you've talked about how, you know, if it wasn't for the reception that you got from the fans, speaking of that instant gratification that we just talked about, if it wasn't for what they told you after that first album, then you wouldn't have had, you know, sort of maybe the guts to try a live recorded album. So I want you to talk about why you wanted Bewitched to be all live.
The most successful songs are the ones that are the most authentic to me. I mean, after everything I know about love, I found that the songs that were performing the best were the songs that were either most closely resembled jazz standards or mm-hmm. were the ones that were recorded like live with the symphony orchestra. So I think I just felt also just this higher level of confidence, and I'd grown a bigger audience, and I kind of found that they were just willing to listen to what I put out, not just for the song, but just for my vision and for my musicality. So with Bewitched, I was like, let's just write an album and record it exactly the way that I want to, which is no frills, real instruments, real musicians, see how far we can challenge ourselves to create these effects and sounds without the help of a computer. You know, of course, we have a computer recording it and everything, but, you know, instead of using a Celeste sound, like a little starry toy piano sound on a virtual instrument, which is the easiest thing in the world, let's go track down a toy piano or like a beautiful sounding Celeste somewhere in some garage and record it.
Let's play it.
And have it. Yeah, exactly. So the album feels timeless.
Time for more music. Here's another song that you released recently. It Could Happen to You.
Hide your heart from sight. Lock your dreams at night. It could happen to you. Don't count stars or you might stumble. Someone drops a sigh and down you tumble. Keep an eye on.
So it's been several months or so since you released your second album, and a couple of days since releasing that deluxe version. Is there anything new that Levy wants to try with her next set of records? Like, could we see you dabbling in different genres, kind of Beyonce style?
Oh my God. I mean, I want to do a country album at some point, 100%, like an old kind of bluesy country album. Absolutely.
Oh, your voice would be lovely on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm open to anything. I definitely feel quite adamant on my mission of, you know, of introducing jazz and classical. Like, that's still my life, my lifeblood. So, but we'll see. I'm not closing anything out.
Let's talk more about your inspirations. Of course, we know Ella Fitzgerald, as you've talked about. I hear you're a Taylor Swift fan, too, as well as...
Oh, a huge Swiftie.
Yeah. Huge Swiftie. And other jazz musicians, Chet Baker, Keeley Smith, Errol Garner, the Mills Brothers, and more. Who else, though, is in your musical rotation these days?
These days...
Like, if I was to go grab your, you know, your Spotify list, what would I see?
I mean, I've been a lot of Taylor Swift, but...
oh, that's right. And the timing.
The new album.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, that's 31 songs that I've been listening to a lot. I've been listening to Chapel Rowan, which is really, really fun.
Applause from the control room right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chapel's incredible.
God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl. You dance at the club, oh mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong, down at the Pink Pony Club.
Yeah, I really, really love her music, and she's just a lovely girl as well. What else? I mean, I always listen to a lot of Norah Jones.
So if folks missed out on your show at the Chicago Theater, that's okay, because you're coming back. You're coming back to Chicago this summer for Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
How exciting.
I'm so, so excited.
How exciting. You're going to be playing with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra once again. And I'm curious what it is for you that you enjoy when you are performing with them versus the times when you're solo out there.
I mean,
there's a difference, right?
Yeah, I think for me, again, it's just this very direct goal of keeping the orchestra kind of sound alive, and something that feels like it's for young people and something that's for a festival stage. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's the funniest thing in the world. Like, either you will leave there loving it, hopefully, or you will absolutely hate it, but you will remember it. And that's what I care about.
I think they will love it.
I hope so. I mean, if I were, like, you know, at a festival and I saw an orchestra come out, you know, I would die. That's so cool.
It's one of the most beautiful things.
I think it's the first time that an orchestra is playing at Lollapalooza.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So, and what a fun way to also bring in, you know, musicians in the Chicago area and get to kind of embed myself in the culture in that way. I think it's so fun.
I think that's even better for you, just having that kind of a first at Lolla. Amazing.
I'm so excited.
Amazing.
I'm so happy they let me do it.
Yeah, that's incredible. We've been talking with singer and songwriter Leve. Thank you so much for making the time. And now for a special musical treat. You're performing something for us.
Is that right?
Tell us the story about that song.
So this next song is a new song. It's called Bored. And I wrote it one day when I was, it's definitely one of my more fiction-y songs, but it came out of this incident where I was like, wow, this person is kind of boring. And then I kind of, you know, made this story around it of this dramatic encounter with someone where I'm just like so bored that I slam the door and walk out, and he chases me out on the street and is like begging me to stay because he wants to marry me. And I'm like, no.
I want to be that boring person that inspires a whole song.
Yeah, maybe he's not that boring. But I just think it's very sarcastic, the tone. And I think a lot of jazz standards have a very sarcastic tone. A lot of like the Cole Porter tunes. I think I'm a very sarcastic person. So I think it's just really funny.
Nice.
Especially after a serious song like Goddess. I'm like, okay, let's all take a little laugh.
All right, let's listen.
Why don't we call it for what it is? Can't remember the last time we kissed, and it tickled my heart.
I think that it's best that we spend time apart. I just yawn listening to you talk about yourself again and again. I'm bored, bored of this love. Oh, I'm bored, bored of this talk. And maybe you're just way too vain to be interesting. Baby, keep talking, but nobody's listening. Don't mean to walk out the door, but baby, I'm bored. Don't you know I wept in my room last night? Bet you didn't know you make me cry. 'Cause I'm so self-possessed, charming at first, but you made me depressed. So I'm leaving in the morning, 'cause I'm bored, bored of this love. Oh, I'm bored, bored of this talk. And maybe you're just way too plain to be interesting. Baby, keep talking, but nobody's listening. Don't mean to walk out the door, but baby, I'm bored. Oh. You followed me out and said, darling, don't leave. Your passionate monologue woke up the street. I'll marry you someday, you're perfect for me. I got in my car just to drown out your plea. 'Cause I'm bored, bored of this love. Oh, I'm bored, bored of this talk. And maybe you're just way too vain to be interesting. Baby, keep talking, but nobody's listening. Don't mean to walk out the door, but baby, I'm bored. Oh,
this episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin. It was edited by me and mixed by Ethan Schwab. Now, if there's a musician that you would like us to cover here on Reset, email us at reset@wbez.org or leave us a voicemail at 888-915-9945. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.